Hello, I'm Costas Halavrezos. Welcome to Encore, brought to you by BoomersWork.com. Today on Encore, I'll speak with David Campbell, recently appointed chief economist with the New Brunswick Jobs Board. He also happens to be one of Canada's most stimulating and controversial bloggers. David's online blog, It's the Economy, Stupid, has dealt with subjects ranging from the impact Costco has on the economy to getting beyond the bias surrounding age. Often provocative and always refreshing, David Campbell frequently tackles subjects relating to boomers and their place in our economy. David, welcome to Encore.
Hi there.
Now, David, your blogs have had such titles as Should Seniors Work More? And Don't Mess with Boomers. What is it about that post-war demographic that interests you as an economist?
Well, obviously they created the post-war economy. They built a very, very successful economy across the Western world, particularly in Canada and the United States. They accumulated the most wealth of any generation in history. And now they're heading into their retirement years, and so economists are interested in, you know, how they're going to impact the economy in the years ahead.
Now, what are you seeing already, say, from the front edge of that demographic?
Yeah, there's a few things. Like, we were a little bit, you know, there was some concern that, you know, the boomers, as they exited the workforce, that there'd be some challenges in terms of the workforce needs of employers, and we're starting to see some of that. But we're also starting to see a lot of boomers deciding to stay in the workforce longer, and I think that's one of the key themes that I'd like to convey, that you know, it seems to me that because of the skills and the expertise that boomers have built up over their careers, that as they head into 65 and older, they should look at ways to use those skills to better their communities and mentor young workers and provide economic activity. So I think that's really sort of a central theme here, is that boomers should not see 65 as say the end of their work life, but only a transition into a different type of work that will continue to add value in their communities.
Now, some time ago, you quoted a United States administration official as saying we have to transform our vision of aging from a time of dependency to a time of continual growth, contribution, and social and economic participation. And in your blog, you said that was a refreshing thought. Can you elaborate on that?
So, essentially, when we decided sort of arbitrarily that 65 would be the year that we retire, the average person was living to be about 67. And now we're still thinking 65 is when we should retire, even as we are living, you know, into our 80s and if we stay healthy into our 90s. So really we have to sort of change this sort of cultural Freedom 55 or Freedom 65 kind of thinking. And really start thinking about how, as we age, we can continue to contribute to society, both economically, but also in many other ways. So I think, it's a mistake to sort of view the boomer population as a big sort of healthcare bill, and look at the population more as really contributing in very positive ways to our communities for many, many years and decades ahead, because I think that's the reality. We've got the health care now that boomers are going to live, you know, most of them well into their 80s and into their 90s. And so let's continue to see that as an opportunity and not as some sort of big societal challenge. So I think there's lots of ways we do that. Again, the type of work that boomers might do might change. They might sort of have more flexibility in the workforce, but ultimately I think there's real opportunity there.
Now, it's one thing for you as an economist to see this new vision, but what about boomers themselves? I mean, have they internalized those notions that, you know, I'm 65, that's it, I've got to wind things down now somehow?
Yeah, so I think there's still some of that, particularly in Atlantic Canada. Historically, I think as we age, we kind of thought that we had to retire to open up the job for somebody young, and there was kind of that culture because of the scarcity of jobs in the region. But I do think now that even that is changing, and we need to think about you know, not sort of retirement as a way to free up jobs for young people, but as we move into those years. And again, I'm not suggesting that boomers, you know, stay in the same job, well beyond the age of 65. What I'm saying is that as they look at retirement, that they sort of think about it in new ways. So maybe they're going to work part-time or part of the year, or maybe they're going to volunteer more, or maybe they're going to mentor younger people in their profession and things like that. So it's not about necessarily continuing to work in the exact same job, because as we head into retirement, we do want more flexibility. We do want more options, and I think that's fair. It's just more about how do we leverage and take advantage of that enormous skill base that the boomers bring, and take advantage of that for our communities and our economy.
But is it possible that some people, you know, towards the end of their career might not be under any real pressure to leave, and who might be rather worried about the prospect of trying something different or winding down, becoming a mentor or becoming a consultant, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some of that. That'll depend on the individual. But again, if we think about the fact that if a boomer remains healthy, you know, they could live easily 30 years after they turn 60 or more, right? So the question is, you know, that's almost as long as they were in their career. So if you think about, for example, teachers historically have retired at a point in their lives where they will likely live as long as they spent in their entire time in the workforce. So that just doesn't seem, from a personal perspective, that doesn't seem particularly appealing, but also from a society perspective, you know, these people have tons to contribute. So again, as you know, if I'm a retired teacher, it might not be that I'm going to go back into full-time teaching, but I may be able to put those skills to work in a variety of ways in the community.
You're listening to Encore. I'm Costas Halavrezos, and my guest today is David Campbell. He's recently appointed chief economist with the New Brunswick Jobs Board. Now, David, I'm just wondering, we know some provinces have a higher proportion of people over the age of 65, but when you look across Canada, how much of a range do you see in that proportion of seniors who are still engaged in the workforce?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So if you look at New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, we have among the lowest rates of employment for people over the age of 65. So the labor force survey collected by Stats Canada asked people their age and also whether they're working or not. And only about 10% of people in 2014 that were 65 and older were working during the year. So that's in a full-time job or a part-time job or a seasonal job. So that's quite low relative to the rest of the country, where it's now creeping up to between 15 and 20%, depending on the province. It's well above what it was a decade ago. So back in 2004, it was only about 5%. So I think we're starting to see more of that now, but certainly we'd like to see that number much higher than just 10%.
Well, some executives recently commented that some of the young people moving into their companies are, and I quote here, functionally illiterate, which provoked a lot of discussion about the education system. But just leaving formal education aside, what's the potential for engaging people who are either approaching retirement or those who've actually retired as mentors for younger people entering businesses and trades?
I'd like to think that that's one of the best opportunities, particularly in professional occupations and in trades, because, you know, these folks have gone through careers. They understand how to write a memo. They understand how to communicate an idea, how to make the case for an idea inside a professional environment, or they certainly understand their trade in great detail. So, you know, young people coming up today, they do have a lot of pressures, a lot of challenges on them. And certainly, if we can find a better way to link up a young person with an older mentor, I think that's an incredibly good opportunity. And I think it actually, you know, the benefits could go both ways. So I think, you know, as we move forward here in this conversation, I'd like to see more older New Brunswickers or Nova Scotians or Canadians looking at how they can mentor young people and help them integrate better into the workforce and address some of these, you know, very basic things like, you know, how do you write a good memo, or how do you make a good briefing, or how do you, you know, make your case, you know, within an organization. So somebody that's been around, you know, a while understands how to do that and can communicate that to younger people.
How difficult a sell is that, though, to the employer to have a mentor, for instance, around helping some of these younger people make that transition into the firm and become, you know, truly productive members?
Yeah, so I think you know, a lot of companies have that approach, even if it's not maybe formalized or institutionalized. So, you know, there's lots of matchmaking between older, more experienced workers and younger workers. I think there's just, again, this sort of cultural issue where we have to sort of, you know, think about doing it and be more deliberate about it in our organizations, because, again, historically maybe we haven't had to, or we haven't had the opportunity because we haven't had such a large pool of older workers with those skills to be thinking about how we could use that in a mentorship environment. So I think, you know, we just have to be more deliberate as organizations, as people transition, you know, into their 60s and so on, how to use that workforce productively, and part of that is through mentorship. So again, I'm not sure most people, as they head into retirement, you know, relish the idea of working sort of full time year round. Although some do, but some don't. But again, it's about flexibility. It's about finding something that they really like to do and take advantage of their skill set into the retirement years.
Just finally, what kind of message would you like to hear, I don't know, businesses, governments, whoever, send out to seniors who are thinking that, look, I'm sort of at the end of the line of my career, and I'm at the end of my life as a productive member of society? What's the message they need to hear?
So I think the message is not to see boomers as a looming cost to society and some big challenge that we have to overcome. I think it's a more nuanced understanding of the fact that boomers are going to live longer. They've got lots of skills. They've accumulated quite a bit of wealth. And what we want to do is have an ongoing conversation about how we can work together to maximize the benefits to society. You know, so again, if I'm an engineer and I retire at 60, and all of that sort of accumulated skill and talent that I've built up over my career, I just throw it out the door and I don't use it anymore. I think that's a waste. So I think we have to, you know, from the boomer's perspective, we have to see how we can contribute. And from the employer and the government perspective, we have to find ways to make that seamless and make that a real opportunity in our businesses and in our communities.
All right, David, thank you very much for joining us on Encore.
Sure thing.
Bye. David Campbell is the chief economist with the New Brunswick Jobs Board. He's also one of Canada's most stimulating and controversial bloggers. Look up his online blog. It's called It's the Economy, Stupid. Now, each week at this time, Encore will introduce you to men and women exploring new and exciting developments of special interest to everyone who's in that rapidly growing group of Canadians aged 50 or more. Our guests will be people who are redefining ideas about life after retirement. Thank you for listening to Encore. I'm Costas Halavrezos.